Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. We've got a couple of things that we're going to talk about that are certainly relevant to where we are right now as a country. Just moments before we started the broadcast here, breaking news came out of Fox News and other news sources as well, saying that the Senate has confirmed a budget deal. It's been finalized. And so the GOP and the Democrats have gotten together, specifically Mitch McConnell on the GOP side and Senator Reid on the other side. And supposedly a deal has been struck. We don't know the details of the deal yet. It says, according to the breaking news here, that the text is soon to follow. So, you know, the devil is in the details on these things. Here's the plan, I guess. Now it gets sent back over to the House, and then the House then decides from there whether or not they like what is in this plan, and then we'll see if we've got some sort of a deal. All of this, of course, is taking place with the backdrop of this looming budget issue that's taking place, you know, this foreboding sense that we will default on our bills that the United States should pay. And then, of course, if you believe the media accounts of this, then Armageddon will begin from that moment on, you know, a complete catastrophic event. Well, to me, aren't these the same people that told us that the government shutdown was going to be this big catastrophic event? Aren't these the same folks that said, you know, we couldn't get by without them? And yet we saw that, well, it wasn't as much of a shutdown as they portrayed it to be. And the only problems that we're actually experiencing are those that are manufactured by the administration, the ones that they're trying to make people feel the pain. So I just don't buy it. I don't think that the not coming to a deal right now is equals the idea that we are going to default. I don't think that those two are as connected as they'd like us to believe. I think that we can still pay our bills with the money that is coming in, and it doesn't have to come to that. And secondly, I don't think that if it does come to that, that it's as catastrophic as they would have us to believe. One of the things is, it's related to our the way that we're viewed by creditors and so forth. You know what they want to see? They want to see financial stability. And you know what they don't see is that nobody's dealing with the problems that we have here in this country, and we just keep pushing it off. So I don't think they're as concerned about this either. They want to see that a plan is in place to stop spending so much money that we don't have. And if they see that, then that's going to increase confidence, that's going to increase our credit rating, and you know, everything will go much better for the United States. This is not that. That's the problem. We're going to talk to Jamie Dean here in just a moment. Jamie is the news editor for World Magazine, and maybe Jamie could help us out on finding out what's actually being done there currently in Washington. Second half of the program today, another issue that is facing the country, and by the way, this is connected with the first issue. We're going to talk about climate change. And climate change as to whether or not there is a consensus on climate change. We're going to be joined by Dr. Stephen Meyer again on the second half of the program today. And he's going to talk about this notion of whether or not there is a consensus among scientists that global warming or climate change is man-made and that we can actually do something about it. I say it's tied to the first issue because the bottom line doll of this, again, is politics. It has very little to do with the actual science and very little to do with the environment even. It's more about the money and the politics. The president and his administration and the Democrats and primarily want to spend billions of dollars dealing with this problem before we even know whether or not it's actually a fact that we can do something about it. So it's going to be related. We'll talk to Dr. Meyer in a second half. Up first, Jamie Dean, World Magazine news editor. Jamie, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Jamie, how about what's your take on what's going on there in Washington? I know you probably haven't had a chance with being on the program now and this just coming out a few minutes ago to digest everything that's taking place, but tell us what you do know.
Well, as you mentioned, it sounds like Senate leaders have reached an agreement. And if it's the same agreement, which we think it probably is, if it's the same agreement that they've been discussing over the last day or so, here's basically what it would look like. They would raise the debt ceiling through February the 7th, and they would fund the federal government through January 15th. So they'd be raising the debt ceiling and reopening the government. It does not appear that this legislation would contain any major changes to Obamacare, which is one of the things that really kicked off this discussion to begin with. With one exception, there might be some new procedures to verify the income of some people who are getting government subsidies to purchase health care through Obamacare. But other than that, no major changes to Obamacare. And really, in terms of addressing the issue of just massive escalating national debt, it contains a plan to form a negotiating committee to deal with long-term solutions. Of course, we've seen those kinds of committees forever. and what that really means in terms of actual action to cut spending is unclear. Now, that Senate bill will likely head to the House. It's very unclear what will happen there. Speaker Boehner has indicated that he will put forth for a vote whatever the Senate sends to him. We're not positive about that, but it appears the Speaker will put that plan forward for a vote. And whether he can get enough votes or whether enough representatives will vote for that plan, that's what we don't know. That's what the rest of this day will probably look like or the next couple of days as it unfolds. So that's kind of what we know at the moment.
Well, that is discouraging. That makes, I guess, everything that Ted Cruz and others did in order to bring this to a head pretty much a moot point. All we did was pause for a few moments with everybody just digging in and absolutely coming to no real concrete issues, you know, just having them not get some sort of a subsidy for certain groups. It's not enough. I think that the American people don't want Obamacare. We've got a little bit of a glimpse of just how well Obamacare is going to be ran, considering now it's the laughingstock of the nation for its registration program. I think one CNN reporter's been trying to log on now for 2 weeks or something and still can't get on. And these are the same people that now say they want to run, one-sixth of the U.S. economy in the healthcare program. So I hope, and I guess I'm hoping against hope at this point, but I hope that the House has enough backbone to just say, we're going to demand that you make some substantive changes here and not just, come back to us with the exact same thing. That's wishful thinking, don't you think?
Probably so. I think there's a group of representatives that would very much like to take that stand and may take that stand within their smaller group. Whether the whole House will do that is unclear. I mean, I think that a group of very conservative representatives in the House wouldn't be unwilling to vote for anything, but I think a vote that says we're going to form a committee to talk about what to do about the fact that we have a $17 trillion national debt. I mean, I think they're saying a committee is not enough, right?
Right.
I mean, just consider this issue of the debt ceiling. I mean, what you're talking about is the Treasury saying we're going to run out of emergency borrowing power. That's basically what they're saying. We're not going to be able to borrow any more money after a certain point. Not that we just can't pay bills. We can't borrow money. So they say that only leaves us with about $30 billion, and that will only cover our bills for 2 weeks. I mean, just consider that. I mean,
right.
That's the real crisis. It's not, I mean, all these other things are part of the heart of that is the real crisis, that we are in that situation where we're spending that kind of money in a two-week period, and we need to borrow and borrow and borrow to spend more. That's a pretty big problem, and I think that's what these Republicans in the House have been you know, pretty desperate to bring to the table.
Yeah, and we tried to put a little bit of some context to the idea of $1 billion the other day. I spoke incorrectly when I said it the first time, but the second time was you could, with $2 billion, you could spend $1 million a day from the day that Christ was born till now, and you would not have spent that $2 billion yet, you know. And so we're saying that just this is just almost unconscionable amounts of money. And the message needs to be enough is enough. Nobody will deal with this because it's going to involve some pain. In other words, people are going to not have money in certain programs. But that's what really needs to be done. And that would really send a strong message that finally the United States is willing to deal with its spending problem. That's what we have. We don't have a borrowing problem. We have a spending problem, and we're finally willing to deal with our spending problem. And this idea of just, you know, the credit card has run out, so let's give them another credit card in Washington, enough is enough. We just need to say, we're not going to do it anymore. You're going to have to make do with the billions and billions that you already have. And if you can't make do with that, well, then we'll put somebody in there who can, because you people, you know, just obviously have a spending problem.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's something we all know in our personal lives. I mean, if we just bring it down to a very individual scale, we can't run our lives this way.
Right.
Why would we want the federal government to run itself this way? I mean, it's not sustainable. I mean, you know, I think there are a lot of Americans that think, oh, reopen the government. Come on, let's just get past this. I mean, that's a very short-sighted view, and it really fails to see, really, the kind of disaster that really comes, not when you shut down the government for 6 weeks, but when you keep spending trillions of dollars without any way to back it up. And I think that's one of the things, I mean, Heritage Foundation has been really a leader in bringing out some of this information over the last few weeks. And they said, look, it's not just Obamacare. It's not that we, you know, are opposed to health care. We're saying this program is way too costly. We don't have the money to fund this. We don't have the money for a massive Medicaid expansion and subsidies for Obamacare over the next year. They've calculated $48 billion in new entitlements next year, next year. And I said, we don't have the money to do it. Let's step back and figure out how to really look at this in a logical way.
Exactly. That's what it's really about, you know, the idea that this is unsustainable, and who is going to actually say that and actually back it up and do something. So I say to the House Republicans that have stood up and said enough is enough, I say, God bless you. I say, hey, finally, somebody willing, even at their own political peril, of which personally I think everybody is already in their own camps already, and it's going to make very little difference by the time any votes come around for a re-election. But even at their own political peril, for them to be looked upon as obstructionists and so forth, they're still willing to stand up and say, we cannot keep going this way. You know, we've had this, you boiled it down to a personal level in families, but we've also seen this on state levels and on city levels. I should even put it there, like Detroit. Well, you've got all of these bills that are coming due for the retirement funds for union workers and so forth that were promised to these people, but we can't pay them. And so now you've got cities that are now going bankrupt because they overpromised with all of these entitlements. And now these entitlements, you know, the bill is coming due, and we don't have as much revenue coming in because of a slow economy. Hey, this is a math issue, right? And if you can just do the math, you can see this is unsustainable. So this is, I think you've hit the nail right on the head. This is really about spending.
Well, and I probably should tell you that this is probably going to depress you further, but the federal government plans to send about $320 million to Detroit. So they do have some money coming to them from a federal government that does not have enough money to sustain itself. So, I mean, really, you see the cycle. I mean, it's just a cycle that someone has to be willing to break, I think.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head before when you were talking about that Americans, you know, they just are like, you know, just open to government and come on, let's just get over this. You know, they're very pragmatic that way and not seeing the bigger picture. For some reason, I think they think that the federal government actually produces something and that they, you know, then have money laying around that can be used. And they don't realize that's our money. And the only thing that they do is take our money and then spend it on items. So if and boy, do they spend it on other items. So I think if the American people would just realize that, they would begin to see that this, we can't give any more money to them. There's no more money for us to give to the federal government. And why would we, since they really are misusing the money that we're already spending there? You talked about that I would be depressed about the money going to Detroit, but you've written a couple articles as well. Here's the kicker for a lot of Americans. We're now sending more money overseas. Specifically, you wrote an article dealing with the idea we're going to go ahead and send money to Egypt now. So here's the Muslim Brotherhood over there in charge of Egypt. The federal government here saying, hey, we don't have enough money. And then what do we find out? More money is going to be sent overseas to these other countries. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we've long been spending or sending quite a bit of money to Egypt, about $1.5 billion a year in military, in aid to Egypt in general. Some of that is military aid. We are cutting, apparently, some of that aid, about $260 million of that aid. The government is saying we're going to hold that back. But what's interesting about that, I mean, some people would say that's good. We should be cutting in some of these areas anyway. I know Rand Paul is a senator who very much supports cutting a lot of foreign aid. What's interesting about Egypt in particular is that we're choosing an interesting moment to cut that aid. And we're basically saying, look, there's been another revolution. The Muslim Brotherhood has been deposed. We don't like the way that's gone down, and so now we're cutting aid. And so, you know, it's an odd message, I think, for Egyptians who don't understand where we stand when it comes to the Muslim Brotherhood. It appears to them, and it has for the past 2 years, that we really support the Muslim Brotherhood, that we don't support efforts for, a democratic elected government to really try to do something without going in an Islamist direction. Mm-hmm. So beyond the question of, you know, how much money should we or shouldn't we send to them, and I think that's a very legitimate debate, there's another question as well about what kind of message do we need to send to Egyptians who say we don't want an Islamist government. That's a pretty remarkable stand for a Middle Eastern nation to say that. Mm-hmm. And what are we saying to them? How are we going to say to them we support that, not the Muslim Brotherhood staying in power?
Yeah, I think that, it's always a confusing message coming out of there, but I agree with you totally that the position so far among the politics or the foreign policy of Barack Obama and his administration has been that we remove these relatively stable dictators that were in place that we didn't like, but nevertheless, they were relatively stable, and we replaced them with Muslim Brotherhood unknown elements that are there. This seems to be the pattern that is taking place. And, the people here in the United States are going, wait a second, we're paying for all of this? You know, it seems like we just throw money, good money after bad money. I heard recently that there was some sort of report that the Palestinian Authority said that they lost a number of billions of dollars that had been sent to them. They weren't quite sure where it had been allocated or so forth. I think coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan, there's a lot of missing money that has taken place here. And the American people are just, you know, they're just fed up. I wasn't a huge Ron Paul fan when he was talking about, you know, let's shut down all foreign aid. I thought that was way extreme. But I tell you, I'm really been won over to the position of let's pull it all back and then let's see very strategically who gets what and revisit all of this again, because I don't think it's doing any good. If anything, it may actually be funding some of our enemies.
I think that, you know, it's great for America to be a nation that wants to help other nations. We do have a lot, and it is a biblical idea to be generous with what you have, but it's also a biblical idea to make sure you know how you're being generous.
That's
you,
what's
you
missing.
With your generosity, yeah.
Exactly. Now, right in the middle of all this, of course, here back at home again, Obamacare. This rollout, I mean, this was the absolute worst rollout of anything that I've ever seen. I was in information technology for a number of years. We would roll out new software, you know, company-wide, 500 people or so in the company and so forth. And, man, we had some that went a little rough. Nothing compared to this. This is a debacle. How is this playing across the nation? What are you folks hearing from, you know, doing reports on this around the nation?
You know, it's funny because, you know, it's a little bit eclipsed right now with the government shutdown, with the debt ceiling. I mean, in some ways, that might be politically advantageous to the Obama administration, that fewer people are paying attention to this disaster that's unfolding. So you wonder, are they going to miss the days of the government shutdown when we can kind of focus on some of these things? But yeah, I mean, it is. It's really a debacle. And I think even people who are not politically, don't have a lot of political investment in it, would say the same thing. I read a quote from someone recently who runs a huge company and says there's no company that would have rolled this out. No reasonable company would have rolled this out when the federal government did. I mean, to prove a point, you've sort of shot yourself in the foot. You've proved that it's not ready and that it's, and that it can't be done in the way that you're doing it. So yeah, I mean, it is a debacle, and I think that perhaps as we shift focus back to some of those things over the next few weeks, people are going to be seeing that more and more.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Republicans tried to, or at least the House Republicans that were trying to obstruct the and stop the funding going forward, they tied Obamacare to the budget battle and to, you know, that let's go ahead and close the government if you will not back off on Obamacare, for two reasons. And I don't know if they're very clear when they do this, but the two reasons are we can't afford it, as you already mentioned. And the second reason was that, you know, these folks, it's not ready. And I think they've proven this. It's not ready for prime time. You know, just to push forward with something like this, even though it's not ready at all. I mean, that I think is a message that even though we've been talking about these other things, I think if we can tie those two things together, or they can tie those two things together, it'll go a long way to say, you know, these are the exact same people that rolled out Obamacare. These are the ones now that say they need more money to be able to fund the government. If they can do that, if they can tie these two things together, I think it'll really have some legs.
Yeah, I mean, I think communication is a huge part of this battle. And, you know, conservatives always tend to face an uphill battle when it comes to communicating. You know, major media outlets don't always really give their view the hearing that it deserves. But boy, they really should be putting a lot of effort into thinking about how to communicate what you just said very clearly to the American people, that clearly this isn't ready. I mean, you know, a lot of Republicans were saying early on in this debate about Obamacare and the shutdown, just delay it. I mean, the Obama administration has already agreed to delay requiring small businesses to provide insurance. They've said, okay, we'll give you another year. Why not delay that mandate for individuals to purchase insurance? I mean, if you're admitting that it's not ready in one area, why not admit that it's not ready in another area?
Well,
just kind of be reasonable about that. So, you know, that does not appear to be baked in the mix in some of these discussions, but maybe it should be, just pointing out the unsustainable nature of so much of what we're talking about.
I think that's if they're having difficulty selling the whole idea that all of this needs to just stop and with Obamacare and so forth, I think that that's the tack that they should take right there. They should just say over and over again, a reasonable compromise is just to delay the individual mandate for 1 year. And, Mr. President, you want to talk about compromise. If you will do that for 1 year, then that is a legitimate compromise. Let's do that, and we'll press forward. And I think the reason why he won't do that is because he knows that the news is already coming in now. People are finding sticker shock. Their rates are going up exorbitantly, you know, that American families are going to find out, wait a second, I wanted everybody to have health care, but I didn't want it to cost me a couple $1,000s more a year for everybody to have health care. And once that message gets out and it's starting to come out now, then the Obama administration knows we're in big trouble here trying to sell this to the American people. Hey, breaking news. The breaking news apparently that came out, right? They was handed
that
this.
That may not be right.
Okay.
The way that Fox had it written up, that might actually be the House plan that went before the House died for the shutdown.
Okay.
I don't know that they've taken up the Senate plan yet. So
I see.
The way they had it written up there, it's a little confusing.
The original note that Gary handed to me here was House rejects Senate plan. I was going to say hallelujah, but I'll hold my hallelujahs. for a later time till we get a confirmation in there. I would just like to see something substantive happen rather than just, you know, we just went through this all for absolutely nothing. Jamie Dean, thank you so much. We'll be watching World Magazine closely to see the commentary that comes out there and the breaking news out on World Magazine. You guys do an excellent job. There's only been two places that we could turn in order to find out what was really going on. And that is World Magazine, number one here domestically. And sometimes we had to go overseas to find out some of the reporting that was taking place over there that actually would tell us, you know, what the real story behind what was taking place. So we thank you folks very much for the reporting that you guys are doing. It's really been helpful for us.
Well, thanks so much. We always enjoy coming on the show.
Okay. That was Jamie Dean. She's the news editor for World Magazine. I mentioned, if you want to find out what's really happening and get some really good commentary on it, the place to go is www.worldmag.com. That's worldmag.com. You can go out there to find out more. You can read Jamie's articles out there and many others that are reporting for them right now. And so you'll be able to hear the latest on what's taking place domestically and around the world. We'll be joined in just a few minutes with Dr. Stephen Meyer is going to be with us. We're going to talk about climate change and this so-called consensus that there is among scientists. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.